Brad runs his own landscaping business.
Yeah, with my two brothers.
They take their business very seriously.
Sure do.
Fred traded up to commercial auto insurance from GEICO for serious customized coverage that grows as his business does, all for seriously low rates.
All right, so when's it gonna happen? You know, the big GEICO surprise?
I'm sorry?
Some hair metal band. Are they gonna jump out of those bushes?
No, this is a serious GEICO ad.
That pyro was pretty cool, though.
Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is great to be with you guys today. It's Wednesday. Just finished up the Kyle Shanahan press conference not too long ago. Got all the clips and all those things cut up. We're going to talk about those. So we've got roster moves, which I think is telling. I think we can learn a little bit of positive, negative from that. We've got practice report, who didn't practice, who was limited, who wasn't even on it. I thought that was crazy. And then probably the majority of this episode, besides your questions and comments for the live viewers, appreciate everybody that's showing up. We're going to do a little then versus now. The evolution of the 49ers defense or lack thereof and what Robert Saleh's first year was like compared to Nick Sorensen's first year and what we can kind of derive from that. And also, you know, question from James K. Appreciate the email and the idea. And I kind of... sometimes it's fun diving down the rabbit hole, you know, Alice style. And, man, I just couldn't stop comparing 2017, Robert Saleh's first year, the first year the Shanahan system and the defense was here, to this year, roster, salary cap, cash, rankings, all. It was just fun. It was just fun. So I don't know what answers that's going to bring, but it was a fun question. And so I'm kind of at this point now. And I was talking to Wade earlier, so I did a live show with Wade this morning over his channel. If you want to go check that out, the Wade Breezy, always support Wade. He's the man. But it's like Wade and I were talking off air before we started recording. And it was just like, you know what, man? Like, I just want to, I want to do what I enjoy. And sometimes that's going down rabbit holes and dealing with hypotheticals or whatever. Yeah, 49ers ain't going to the playoffs. I know some people still holding out hope, but I mean, it's possible. It is possible. And if that does happen, I'll be there. But this year, it's all about assessing the future, how to move forward the appropriate way. We got three games left. I'm not going to take those lightly. I'll break down every single play on the 49ersrush.com. We're still holding events. We're going to keep rolling. But it's a little bit different situation than we've been in because the value or the importance of these games, it's minimal. Doesn't mean it doesn't matter. You're still here listening to us. So, like, that's still going on. And I want to say thank you to everybody. What's up, Tim Ford? Good man right there. Vince, Hugo. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. We got Joe B. We got Joe. What's up, Joe? How you doing, man? And shout out to our executive producers. This is episode 1,289 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. Thank you, Corey Robbins. 49ers George 365, David Gill. You guys are the reason why this show goes on. I freaking love it. Vince, what's up? We got Jim Everett talking trash. And that, if you want to know how this year is going, somebody with the Jim Everett title is allowed to talk trash against us. Enjoy it. Short-lived, I am sure. But he ain't wrong. He ain't wrong. That's what it is. That's what it is. You know, I was asked last time, and I did a little bit more thinking about this. Like, who do I want to win the NFC West this year? It's not going to be the 49ers. I kind of want the Seattle Seahawks to win it, who I hate more than the Rams. I don't consider the Rams a rival in our recent, you know, 20 years, but the old hats definitely do. We played them over 150 times. It's been a very one-sided affair since Shanahan and McVay showed up. McVay had the early ones. Then Shanahan dominated. I think it was like 8 straight wins, regular season wins. Obviously, NFC Championship, got to tip their hat to them. But now maybe that's back. We're still up on the Rams, I think 7 or 8 wins overall. But I want the Seahawks to win just because I want Geno to stay in the division. That's what I want there. You know, the Rams, they're piecing things together. You know, how long is Stafford going to play? Obviously, still really, really good quarterback. But, yeah, we'll see. Look at Joel. He's over the Philippines right here. He said, it's early here. Going to the gym here in a bit. Dude, get that workout in. Listen to the Extra Song podcast, whatever you got to do. Get it going, man. Get it going. So let's jump into roster moves first, because I want to talk about this for a minute. The 49ers have waived Ambry Thomas. Now, let me just say this. Ambry Thomas, by far, one of the most frustrating players for me, because he never fit our scheme. I can't deal with players that aren't football players, right? They're 7-on-7 players. And I think Ambry Thomas, Akello Witherspoon, probably two of the players that like frustrated me the most at the cornerback position, are just two guys that refuse to play football. That was always hard for me. Ambry Thomas, the least physical player we've ever had in the Shanahan thing. Akello Witherspoon, I think, was second. Just guys that just never, ever wanted to use their pads. That was always difficult because we run a physical style defense, especially with the press cover 3, all that, which was 2017. Changed a lot, went to a quarter system. Now we're back to a cover 3 predominant coverage unit. Lack of physicality is a killer, and Ambry Thomas just never had it. The funny thing is, guess which team Ambry Thomas has had good games against? The Rams, the softies from L.A. It's what it is. And I saw a lot of people talking about Jared Kingston. We lost Kingston just to cut Thomas, Faithful 89. I agree. Obviously, the fact that Ambry Thomas made the initial 53, then you moved him to IR immediately, I thought was stupid. Nobody would have claimed Ambry Thomas, especially, like, I thought that was just dumb at the start. I said it. I can't believe that we used up a roster spot. But I don't think it was a Jared Kingston or Ambry Thomas. I think it was a Curtis Samuel or Ambry Thomas. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, the position for position is usually the way that goes. And Curtis Samuel's the top 20 cornerback in the NFL now. Curtis Samuel was a damn good player, and I was screaming it from the mountaintops since we had him as a rookie. Did he fit our system? Again, Ambry Thomas didn't fit our system. There was never a time period ever where Samuel Womack. Samuel Womack was always better football player, corner, than Ambry Thomas was at any point, any stage in his career, wasn't even close, because He's just a better player. He's a better athlete. He's better at special teams. He's better at outside corner, better tackler, better everything. He's literally better in every single way, shape, and form. And the reason why he didn't get a play, the reason, Nick Sorensen. I hate to say that. He was responsible for nickels back in the day. Said he didn't want him at nickel, then moved him to nickel. Then Wilkes showed up, kept him outside, which is where he should have been. Then Nick Sorensen comes back, puts him back at nickel this year in training camp, and then cuts him. Goes to the Colts, plays outside corner, starts 14-plus games, and is a top 20 corner in the NFL now. The dude was on our roster. Instead, we kept Ambry Thomas. What's my number one issue with the 49ers? We can't evaluate talent. Misevaluating talent. I think that's our issue. I think that's the current issue. And the fact that you could have had a top 20 corner in a year where Demo's missed game, Renardo Green's missed games. Isaac Yiadom's had some injuries. And obviously, Charvarius Ward, with what he's going through. Like, we definitely could have used this guy. But instead, we stashed Ambry Thomas on the IR, and just to cut him whenever he threw a little fit. And, yeah, like, I'll say this. I love that they cut him, because I don't think Ambry Thomas would ever be a fit in this scheme. He's not. He needs to play press man with a team that does not want physical corners. That's where he belongs. He's complained about collecting dust on the shelf and all that stuff. Ambry Thomas is not part of your future. And especially in the Devondre Campbell kind of situation, man, you got to get these cancers out. I'm not saying he's a cancer, but the fact that he's up there piping in social media, let me play, cut me, whatever. get that dude the hell out of here. He was never part of what we were going to be. It was a terrible pick. Another third round compensation pick. Just thrown down the drain. Thrown down the drain. Not one has worked out. Not one. Jorn. What's up, Jorn? Hey, man. Good to see you. He says, I'm starting to lose faith in the regime's personnel decisions. Players plus coaches included. Yes. You could build the roster, and our roster is solid, obviously. Look at last year. Look at the, you know, four out of the last 5 years. And then you could look all throughout this season. You know, I had a full episode, I think, earlier this week where I just said, like, over and over. I think it was last week. The 49ers' biggest issue is, man, we're letting bad people play. Devondre Campbell. You're letting Jordan Elliott. You're letting Jake Brindle. You're letting Aaron Banks. You're letting all of these people play that have continuously shown you they're not the answers. And you won't even allow the backups to say. I think Aaron Banks is probably the clearest example. Aaron Banks gets hurt. Ben Bartsch steps in. Unbelievable. Everything works perfectly. Then Ben Bartsch gets hurt, right? Well, it comes, what's it called? Who we used to start at right guard, Spencer Burford. Offense works great. But then you put Spencer Burford on the backboard to bring back Aaron Banks. He's the worst player on the offense. That's one of the worst games I've ever seen. Offensive films up at the 40yardsrush.com. Past 3.5 years, you want to go watch it. It's all there. The 40yardsrush.com. Every offense, special teams, defensive snaps, all up. As soon as you sign up, you get it all. I mean, it's just, golly, why are we letting him play? Spencer Burford sitting on the sideline. No, we're sticking with Aaron Banks. Doesn't matter how bad a tape he puts up. Doesn't matter how bad a tape Jake Brindle puts up. We will never see another person or even give another person an opportunity because they're not our guys, which is weird. Which is weird. Aaron Banks is so bad. I love Aaron Banks. I think he's a great dude, and I think whenever he's 100% healthy, he should be in a rotation for a starting player at guard position, but not the Aaron Banks we've had the last 2 years. Not. You could throw in the whole issue with, you know, bringing in Javon Hargrave and paying him top-tier money. Never once did he play top-tier games with us. Not once. That's one of the worst contracts in modern free agency. And now you're going to cut him, which is good. You're moving on from that. But, I mean, golly, he was so bad. He was so bad he made Javon Kinlaw look amazing whenever Javon Kinlaw would come in for him. It'd spell him. It was like, wow, Javon Kinlaw is really good. Well, compared to Javon Hargrave, yes, Javon Hargrave was awful the whole time he was with us. Somebody's going to be like, you had 7.5 sacks. That's great. That's eight plays. You play that dude 50, you know, plays a game, that's an issue. And then we're starting to see this even more. Here's what Kyle Shanahan said today about Jacob Cowing. You remember that guy? The fourth round wide receiver we picked?
Yeah, I mean, I want him to keep trying to earn it. I think he's come a long way here in this last month. You know, I know he had that setback with the concussion, missing that game. But no, I think he's getting closer to earning more time out there. But usually when Debo's not out there in 21 personnel, Ricky's out there. When we go 11, it depends on the play, but it's always been Conley or Jake for one of the three, not just one position. They got to back up all three in 11.
Are you a person who tends to overspend on or around the holidays? Well, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. And the best part is, you don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can start investing your money in just 5 minutes. You also don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be as small as $5 a day or just some spare change. That's right. Acorns can round up every purchase you make to the dollar and automatically invest your spare change for you. So whenever you go to get your coffee before you go on that shopping trip, guess what? That's investing. I've used Acorns for a long time, way before this sponsorship started. And a big reason why is because you can invest without time and without a lot of money, and you can choose how aggressive you want to be with the amount of money that you invest. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers.
Fred runs his own landscaping business.
Yeah, with my two brothers.
They take their business very seriously.
Sure do.
Fred traded up to commercial auto insurance from Geico for serious customized coverage that grows as his business does, all for seriously low rates.
All right, so when's it going to happen? You know, the big Geico surprise?
I'm sorry?
Some hair metal band. Are they going to jump out of those bushes?
No, this is a serious Geico ad.
That pyro was pretty cool, though.
Get more with Geico commercial insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
And so, like, do you realize that Jacob Cowing has not been targeted since the game he had his 50-yard reception? Hasn't even been targeted. Dude got four snaps in this game. It was four snaps. Three of his four snaps were run plays. What the hell? And it's not like we ran the ball a lot. We ran the ball 19 times. We threw the ball 35 times or 35 pass plays. Like, come on. At least let the kid have a chance. Make that make sense. I just don't understand it. I really, really don't understand it, especially whenever Eric Sauber's getting 17 snaps. Really? I understand that game, and I think that's another issue. The way in which we're not even allowed guys to develop in games. Now, the 49ers haven't been in this situation where the games don't matter anymore. But, like, we've been blown out by 20-plus, still not getting young guy snaps. We've been blowing teams out by 20-plus, still not getting young guy snaps. Help that make sense. Right here, my man Tommy, the Shredder Huxley. Appreciate the super chat. He says, cut Brindle and Banks immediately. Banks is an expiring contract. He'll get $4 to $5 million a year somewhere. That might come back as a seventh or negate another free agency signing. Jake Brindle's got like 3 years left on his deal. Now it's a lower contract, but I think Jake Brindle should stay on the team. He just should be a backup or at least see what we have. Now, here's the problem. The 49ers will never, ever play Nick Sekel, and now he's limited. He's sick. So this week, whenever he should be getting snaps, he's limited. That doesn't help. That's an issue. So let's talk about who practiced and who didn't. But yeah, long-term, Brindle and Banks should not be a part of our plans. Banks is an expiring contract. You just let him go. But he shouldn't be starting now. He should not be starting. I don't know about cut, but he should not start this game. But the Niners won't make any changes because of continuity on the offensive line. Yeah, but whenever your offensive line sucks, you don't want that to continue. You want to break that up. And whenever you have seen multiple games where Banks literally destroys the entire game plan, pass game, run game, you name it, why would you stick with that? Why would that change? Why? Oh, guess what? You got Calais Campbell. Cool. Have fun with that one. Anyway, practice report. Here is Shanahan breaking it down rather quickly. If it's 20 plus seconds. So here's the injury report for today as far as Wednesday, the 18th before Miami game.
All right. Injuries for practice today. Trent Williams, ankle, will not practice. Isaac Grindo, hamstring, will not practice. Nick Bosa, hip, oblique, limited. Jalen Moore, hip, limited. Malik Mustafa, chest, limited. Malik, Dre Greenlaw, Achilles, knee, limited. Sekel, illness, limited.
That's rough, man. I mean, that's not good. So Trent not practicing, Isaac Grindo not practicing. Like, our fifth wide receiver or fifth running back is out. Fifth. Not cool. So Patrick Taylor, Izzy, whoever, Keyshawn Vaughn, you got to run the football to win if you're the 49ers. We are not a pass-heavy team. We have proven that time and time and time and time and time and time and time again. We are a running football team. And Isaac Grindo can't stay healthy. Tried to get a shot, can't do it. He had the foot last week. Now he's got the hamstring and soft tissue. Come on, man. That ain't going to do it. Now, maybe he toughs it out, but, oh, man. Now, Trent Williams, you know, Kyle was asked a little bit later on. I didn't cut this clip. Are you shutting down Trent Williams? Is he done for the year? Here's what Kyle said, quote, "I mean, if he gets back to healthy, we'd play him, but it's not like that right now, so it's getting closer to being that way," end quote. So don't expect to see Trent Williams out there again this year. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. He was still on a scooter Thursday night. You saw him up at the thing sitting in the club seats or whatever, and he had a scooter right next to him. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. Ugh, man, not a good sign. So that sucks. Then the backup, who's on an expiring contract, tried to get him some playing time. Guess what? Jalen Moore, he's out with a hip as well. When you're injured, when your backups are injured, when your backups are injured, and then now we're to the point where our backup is injured. And every team has injuries, okay? So, that's not an excuse. Stacking injuries is a killer, right? So having four running backs whenever you're quote-unquote, look at this, observe nature. Quote, "We are a run-first football team," end quote, Kyle Shanahan. No, I don't think I will. I understand that reference. That's the Captain American reference. I love it. No, I don't think we will. Instead, we'll run the ball 19 times and abandoned the run in the fourth quarter. Meanwhile, the Rams, whenever they were trailing in the fourth quarter, ran the ball 10 times against us and got the dub. And now we're in first place. We have abandoned the run and abandoned the run and abandoned the run over. I wonder where we are just numerically. Let's see here. And again, we've got like a clip from Kyle talking about why you're not running the ball so much. We're ninth in rush attempts. That's insane. That is insane. That's weird to me. Usually we're higher. Now, here's what Kyle was asked. Like, man, why are you not running the ball more? Because there's not a lot of runs. You only ran the ball 19 times in a game that you were leading by 3 in the fourth quarter. And it was rated, and your quarterback can't play in the rain, by the way. Why the hell would you not run the ball more?
I think we only had one run for a first down. So I think we had a number of three and outs, a number of short drives. Whenever you don't get first downs, whether it's running the ball or passing the ball, you're not going to end up having many runs. And I think we ran for one first down in that game. All our first downs were throwing it. I didn't think we blocked as cleanly, but the main thing was not getting enough carries.
He's not wrong about a lot of things. I think we had two rushing first downs. Brock Purdy rushed for one. Isaac Randall rushed for one. Just did the film breakdown, Kyle. But even if he did misspeak on that, it doesn't change. Man, we're not a good running team. We're not. We ran 19 times for 63 yards. That's bad. But the weather was bad, and your quarterback can't throw in the rain. And if you could throw the ball, how many times? 31. You called 35 pass plays. That's stupid. 35 pass plays, 19 rush plays? That's ignorant. That's stupid. The Rams ran the ball 38 times. They threw the ball 27 times. Here, I want to go to... So I know I already counted. We did 5 rush plays in the fourth quarter. But I want to count. And again, remember, we go into the third quarter. We're still winning. It's 3-6 to start the... which is stupid in and of itself. Here's how many pass plays. To open the fourth quarter, 3 straight pass incompletions. 3 straight to start the fourth quarter. You're up on the road. It's raining. No, we're home. Sorry. We're home. Playoff games on the line. Pass, pass, pass. Pass incomplete to Debo. Pass incomplete for Jennings. Pass incomplete for Debo. Fourth quarter. Playoffs on the line whole season. Pass, pass, pass. Okay, so that's 3 passes. Let's go to the next drive. You did run the ball a couple times. And this is the interception drive. So pass to Pearsall, a complete pass, pass, interception. That's 7. Then we're behind, pass, and then sack. We didn't even get the pass off for the last one. So, 8 pass attempts. And again, whenever it was tied, pass, pass, pass. Fourth quarter. Stupid, man. And yeah, you're not running the ball well, but were you passing the ball well? Brock Purdy had a 4.7 passer rating on deep passes, 1 for 8 in the raid, and you just kept chunking it deep. Ugh, even the interception play, which I thought was funny. Let's play it. This is Kyle talking about the coaching points on the interception play. Now, keep in mind, you were in field goal range. down 3 points at that point, 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. If you make the field goal, it's tied 9-9. And then he chunks it. It was second and 10. And then he threw the interception. And here's what Kyle had to say about the play and the coaching point.
Take that check down.
Yeah, I don't think Brock's an extreme aggressive guy in terms of, I mean, you guys don't see him throw a lot of picks. He doesn't throw into double coverage much. When it's single safety, you want to hold the middle third player and throw a double move on the outside corner. You'd love to be able to check whether he's got a chance or not. But when he did look out there, the guy squatted, and then he bumped him, which is ICT. You know, you can't hit him 12 yards down the field, which stopped Juwan. And then he's got a pass rush coming at him. So it's really easy to say with a clicker in our hand and stuff when he's not on top. But to hold a safety and then look out there, see a guy at a dead stop, and then have a two technique coming right at you, I mean, he's going to let that go. And what you coach, so in the heat of battle, I always tell the receivers, worst case scenario in situations like that is offensive PI. It's never a pick. I don't care if you have to tackle the guy. So the first thing I look at is, does Juwan stop on the play? Because he's got to protect Brock, and so we can at least survive it and have a chance to overcome the penalty. And he couldn't get to it once he stopped him there at the 12-yard spot. Couldn't catch back up. And, yeah, I'd love Brock to check it down, but the protection's got to be a little bit better for him to see all that. And the corner did stop, so it was just an unfortunate play.
Yeah, there's a lot I disagree with that. I'm not saying he's wrong, but like, you have to take into account this dude has thrown the worst passes ever deep that whole entire game. Three underneath checkdowns, wide open right in front of him. The first read should not be a stop and go when you're in field goal range in the fourth quarter. I like to play for the win. That's huge, but not with a quarterback that can't throw in the rain. And the rain was picking up at that moment. I really didn't like that. I thought it was dumb. I really, really did. It was second down. Wasn't like it was third down. Wasn't like you had to have 4 points to win. No. You were in tied position with 5 minutes left in the game, and you just pissed it away. It was a bad decision. Not that a double move's a bad decision. Double move to Juwan Jennings with off-man coverage. Yeah, he was sitting there flat-footed, but he still had position. Wasn't a great route from Juwan either. It was a lot wrong with that. It was a lot wrong with that. You should have used the speed guy. Jacob Cowan would have been fine there. But I don't have a problem throwing to Juwan Jennings. But it was just bad. So much of it was bad. And we got Dodd Burr in the house. What's up, bro? He says, Detroit versus everybody. 17 defensive players on injured reserve. No crying. Let's go. Yeah, that's huge. But Shanahan has repeatedly used the injury thing as an excuse. Man, Detroit's defense is more injured than ours. Do they have the superstars we have? No, but they still have a top-tier defense with 17 guys out. It's not an excuse for them, but Nick Sorensen, oh, it's not his fault. Nick Bosa, it's not his fault. We just got to get our guys back. That's bullshit, man. That's weak. There's no accountability. I'm with you, Don. I'm with you. I do not understand how people, and again, you know, I always get blame for being a Shanahan apologist. I've just spent 10 minutes telling you why I disagree with them. Completely. Man. It's what it is, man. It's rough out there on these streets. Injuries ain't a reason. And yeah, Val, I think Trent Williams is done. It's time to look at some of the other guys. I really, really do think that it is. It's time to see what you can get. Jalen Moore's got an opportunity for him, and now he's injured. So, rough. Now, good news. We're going to now jump back in the DeLorean, if you will. I want to look back at 2017. I had a great question talking about the difference between Robert Saleh's first year and Nick Sorensen's first year. But before we do so, man, the 12 days of Christmas start today over at MyBookie. While other books make promises, MyBookie delivers. This holiday season, the deck is in your favor with MyBookie's 12 days of Christmas. Festive lineup and can't miss opportunities for bettors to cash in. Risk-free Thursdays, NFL bets that you could bet. And if you don't hit, guess what? You don't lose any money. Super Boost and Free Bets are out there as well. Weekly casino giveaways. It only costs 50 cents to spend on bet soft slots to enter. I'm telling you, at MyBookie, it's not just about taking your bets. It's about giving you the tools to elevate your game with the Road to New Orleans, bowl games, Christmas Day sports betting, NFL action, NBA doubleheaders. It's your season to win. And with the 12 days of Christmas, which starts on December 19th, so don't wait, lock it in today. Use promo code 49ERS49ERS with your first deposit. MyBookie will give you a little extra to start your holiday hot. There's a reason MyBookie has been the go-to bettor and the betting sports book of the 49ers Rush podcast for 10 years. 10 years, guys, they have been doing this. Whether it's UFC, NFL, college ball, basketball, you name it. Now, rollovers do apply, and if you have questions, make sure to ask their customer service. They are A++. But whatever you bet, bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. All right, shout out to my man, James K. He came up with this question. He said, I'm curious about comparing Robert Saleh's first season versus Sorensen's first season, right? And so I was like, man, let's do this. And I started crunching numbers and pulling up depth charts and going through all the, it's hard to find a lot of the stats back in 2017. Times have changed since we started. That's when the 49ers Rush started, shoot, 1,200 some odd episodes ago. And I was beyond critical of Robert Saleh. As a coach, I think that the best thing a coach gets, so twofold. There's pregame and then there's during the game, right? So pregame, the coach's number one job is to give whatever schematic advantage that you could possibly give to your players and your team, right? You create an advantage for your players. During the game, can you adjust to take away what the other team is trying to accomplish? Like, if I had boiled down coaching, yeah, I coached for a decade. I wasn't a very good coach, but that was going to be my career. I was going to coach at Duncanville. That's where I coached. And, like, I was just going to move up the ladder, which I was doing very, very well. I enjoyed it. Became a foster parent. Couldn't do that anymore. The 80-hour work weeks and sleeping in the office was a thing of the past. Couldn't do that and do what needed for the kiddos. So I stopped coaching. Gave it up. Very hard decision. Buddy told me, dude, start a podcast. Just talk football and see if people listen. Here we are, 1,200 episodes later. And I'm very thankful to everybody for the support. And for you guys being here now, you guys are freaking diehards. And I love you. And I'll never be able to show the correct appreciation for what you guys have allowed me to do. Now, which one of those does Nick Sorensen do well or Robert Saleh? I was very critical of Saleh. I don't think that we had a great defense whenever back in 2017, but man, that dude didn't adjust for anything. He didn't make adjustments until halftime. And even then they were very, very set. Like we were vanilla, vanilla, vanilla. It took him to year two to, all right, this dude can coach. Year three, awesome. Hopefully Nick Sorensen goes on that same path. Now, again, if you listen to our previous episode, based on Nick Bosa's comments, which I think Nick Bosa has a lot of weight in the personnel decisions, which is sad. But I think Nick Sorensen is going to be back. And the fact that, you know, he was able to run off Steve Wilks, and, you know, he was the first one to openly criticize Wilks behind the mic, and then Fred Warner did the same thing. Then Kyle Shanahan did the same thing, and he was gone. Nobody has criticized Nick Sorensen, and that's bullshit. I'm sorry. The fact that nobody has criticized this guy is bananas to me. Nobody's criticized that he has no energy. Everybody complained about Wilks. Man, where's his fire? Nick Sorensen ain't got nothing. That's Pat Rock on the sideline. That dude ain't got personality, period. Nobody criticizes that. Nobody criticizes the third downs. Nobody criticizes the lack of turnovers. Nobody criticizes what he does in the fourth quarter. Worst fourth quarter defense. That's just so weird to me. That's so weird to me. Nobody criticizes this. Yeah, I think I'm the only one. Now, let's go back to Robert Saleh and let's do the good, okay? Here's this defense, okay? I'm just going to go through the starters week one. For the 49ers, the 2017, the first defense in the Kyle Shanahan, Robert Saleh era. Are you ready for this? Y'all ready for this? Okay, here's the good, the defensive line. Armstead and Buckner, incredible. Earl Mitchell, Solomon Thomas, those were your starters. Eli Harold, Reuben Foster, you remember him? And Brock Coyle. Brock Coyle was the starting linebacker for us. Akello Witherspoon, one of the softest players in the NFL. Dante Johnson, the barnacle, number 27. Eric Reed and Jimmy Ward. That was our starting 11. Not great. not great to say the least. Okay, that was our starters week one. And everybody's like, oh, well, injuries for the defense are the reason why it's bad. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. Listen to this. Eric Armstead missed 10 games, which is on par for him. Solomon Thomas missed 3. Reuben Foster missed 6. Akello Witherspoon missed 4. Eric Reed missed 4. Jimmy Ward missed 9. They had injuries back then, too. They didn't even have quality starters. You look at, now again, the dollar amount doesn't match, but the ranking does. They paid $59 million for that defense that year. That's what it cost. That was 23rd most in the NFL. 32 teams. You're talking bottom 10 paid out defense. Now look at what Nick Sorensen's going through. We have $128 million attributed to our defense. That is second most in the NFL. Second most. Hello? It's not like you're dealing with the 23rd most expensive payroll, a bottom 10 paid roster. This is second. Second. Robert Saleh, now, it wasn't a good defense back in 2017. Here's the good. They were 16th in fourth quarter scoring, which is way better than us. They were 18th in rushing touchdowns allowed, which is way better than the current 49ers. Bad, and there's a lot of bad back in 2017. That was a terrible team. 25th in points allowed, 24th in yards allowed, 29th in first downs, 22nd pass yards, 24th yards per pass attempt. Third downs, we were 30th. Red zone, we were 26th. About where it should have been. But it was a bad roster, and you had injuries. And you did have the players. Now, let's go to Nick Sorensen. Here's the good. Third in yards allowed. If you are a Sorensen truther, that means you're probably on the 49ers payroll. It's, hey, we don't give up a lot of yards, right? The age-old adage for defensive play is bend but don't break. Ours is the exact opposite. Break, just don't bend. First quarter, second quarter is all that matters. First and second down, that's all we care about. Third down, fourth quarter, nah, break. Just don't bend. We don't give up yards. Fourth and first downs, a lot of three and outs. Second in passing yards, teams just run on us nonstop. Fourth in yards per pass. We're great on first and second down. Now here's the bad. Keep in mind, second most expensive defense in the NFL. Second most expensive defense in the NFL. We're 17th in points, which is slightly below average. 14th in turnovers. We don't even get turnovers anymore. Back-to-back years, we led or were tied for most turnovers. Returned most of the same people. Went from first to 14th. 29th in rush touchdowns allowed. Literally, that group that I just read to you from 2017 was better, considerably better. 25th in third downs, awful. 30th in red zone. And 29th in the fourth quarter. This is the worst red zone defense for the 49ers since they started tracking the stat all the way back when Steve Mariucci was here. Do you see how bad that is? Second most expensive defense. So the question, James, my man, curious about comparing Saleh's first year versus Sorensen's. Saleh was better with worse. Or Saleh was comparable with worse. And we know what happens with Saleh the second and third year. And right here, yeah, Monkey Boy. Injuries play a big part as to why we aren't as good, but coaching needs to do what we have to do. Again, guess what, guys? Let's go to the fighting Don Burrs. Where's he at on here? They have 17 defensive players on IR. 17 on IR. Do y'all know where we are? I'm going to show you. I'm going to count them out. They have 17 on injured reserve. Let me scroll down. We've got a lot on injured reserve. Hargrave, Odom, not a starter. Ambry Thomas, not on there anymore. Kevin Givens, Darrell Luter, not a starter. Tatum Bethune, Corey Robinson. We have six. We have one starter. One starter. That's it. We got six players on IR. From our defense, one starter. Everybody, like, and then I know somebody's like, well, Dre and Huff, they were out for a long time. Yeah, they were. Two starters are down and you suck. We're not the fifth most expensive defense. We're not 10th. We're not average. We're the second. But let's stick with this guy. It's funny because, okay, I'm a film guy. I break down the film. You guys know it. That's what I do. That's all I do. Every time I watch the film, every time I watch a press conference of that guy, every time I get a question like this, I lose faith. He's worse after any type of analytical or observation. That's not good. And now that Nick Bosa's out with his emo self, Val, I do think he will play. He was limited today. He played fully last week. He'll play. Saying, I think we need our guys back. Like, your criticism of Shanahan and surrounding him of yes men is valid. Very valid. He is team nepotism all the way. He is surround himself, the Shanahan loyalty program. And even Devondre Campbell, who quit on his team, was part of the Shanahan loyalty program all the way back in Atlanta, where Shanahan was the OC his rookie year. He knew what he was. Now, it was the third thing that they stayed with. But now we're getting players that have say in game plan, like Debo and Brock Purdy, and now Nick Bosa. What they say goes. I don't like that, man. Oh, right here. Josh tried to piss me off. I love you, Josh. I know you know that. He says, John, don't you think we should add kickers and punters to the draft book this year? Dude, you tried to make me throw something on this thing live. You crazy man, you. We have started our draft research, which is wonderful, and gives me hope for the future. Niners have 11 picks, and I think that the future is fine. You return a lot of these players. You know, Shanahan and Sorensen have proven they cannot operate unless they have everybody, which is frustrating. But the draft getting 11 picks is huge. I think that's going to be huge. I really, really do. And I think the Niners have enough base. That's why you don't change coaches. That's what change coordinators. But you don't change the Shanahan thing. I wouldn't change it now. You do this another year. You have, if 2025 is like 2024, then cool. Right now, no. Oh, what's up, man? Shout out to my man, David Waller. Appreciate you. Longtime teacher friend, great man. He says, how can you go from everything is so great to have the same record as the Cowboys? David is a Cowboys fan, by the way. And so that goes with that. Asking for a friend or just me. Yeah, you know it's a bad year whenever you have the same record as the Cowboys. And it's so funny. Like, y'all talk about Shanahan. The Cowboys are honestly considering keeping Mike McCarthy. As bad as we had, thank you, David Waller. They're actually talking about keeping Mike McCarthy. And, you know, I'm doing all the research, and shout out to Josh again, getting, you know, still doing a game plan and all that kind of stuff and scouting report on the Dolphins. And you know what's funny? Like, Mike McDaniel, who I love, I would love for him to come back. But, like, here's what's crazy. He's nowhere on, like, the fire whatever. You know, Mike McDaniel's not going to get fired from the Dolphins. Guess what? He has zero division titles. He has zero playoff wins. Not, it might be on the hot seat, but I think they're bringing him back. Mike McCarthy should have been fired years ago, but they're bringing him back. Shanahan just was in the Super Bowl. They're bringing him back. You have another year like this. We'll see. But Shanahan has 8 playoff wins, 2 NFC titles, or 2 Super Bowl appearances, whatever you want to say, 4 NFC championship appearances. Golly, man. Right here, Bobo. So what, Niners are keeping Brian Schneider and Nick Sorensen? One of them's got to go. Both of them should. One of them has to. Brian Schneider has no reasons, man. to stay slick. JC, if 49ers do part ways with Sorensen, what do you think of Dante Hittner to replace him? Not as a DC. His first coaching job, not as a DC. Not that I wouldn't be opposed to hiring Hittner as a DB coach, but I do want to keep Bullocks. I like Bullocks. But yeah, getting Hittner somewhere out there for sure. But like, yeah, you don't jump into the DC. Like Sorensen was with the Niners for a long time, misevaluated a lot of nickel corners, did a terrible job. But man, I would love to get Hittner back if he wanted to coach. He's very vocal. He's very, you know, he's active and watching the Niners and being in the community. So I would totally be down with giving him a job. Like, I like sticking with old players, but you got to ask a question. Has he done anything with Kyle Shanahan or his dad? Because if he hasn't, then it doesn't matter. That's all that matters. Your only part of your resume. Do you know the dad? Do you know Kyle? If the answer is not yes to one of those, you don't even need to apply. Don't even need to apply. I hate that it's like that. And I absolutely hate it. I absolutely hate it. The 49ers, do you think we need a new wide receiver coach like Jerry Rice? Jerry Rice ain't going to coach. It'd be cool if he wanted to try it. But no, Leonard Hankerson, I think, is our current wide receiver coach, and I think he's done a good job. I like him. Right here, Bobo, go get Jeff Ulbrich. Yes, that's who I want, man. I'd take him or the Cleveland DC. I want an experienced defensive coordinator that runs a four-man front. I'm not switching to a 3-4. We ain't got the personnel for it. It doesn't suit our strengths. I want to stay in a four-man, even front. And I want Ulbrich. I want a strong DC that's got experience, that gives your team a schematic advantage. It can make adjustments. It's two simple things. It's very, very simple. Which one does Nick Sorensen do? Coach has missed tackles really well. You literally listen to his stupid freaking philosophy on tackling, which is just stupid. Here we go. Let's hear from it. Here's defensive coordinator Pat Rock.
How violent you finish and how well you tackle. I think that's the most important thing. If they're going to check it down, are they checking it down in five? So what's happening after that? Is he getting hit? Are we punching it out? Are we hitting him with, you know, two, three guys on a compression tackle? What's the stack monster? How are our D-line coming out? Are they hitting him too? So what do those look like when they're throwing it is what matters. You know, whether it's an RPO or perimeter screen, you know, if they're going to catch it at five and get eight or nine, that's not good.
All I heard was, we're going to take the most simple concept of football, which is physicality, and force you to think about every situation possible to where players play slow and missed tackles are prevalent. We're one of the worst tackling teams in the NFL since he showed up. No change from last year to this year. Besides him. I don't like the... What advantage does that give you? Think about what the situation is when you're tackling. Think more. It hasn't worked. And yeah, personnel matters. And injuries matter. But so did 2017 49ers under Robert Saleh. I just went through all the games that were missed. Lions have 17 defensive starters on IR, defensive players. Come on, man. It's bad. It's just bad. Yeah, Ambry Thomas, I talked about that earlier. I'm glad he's gone. Another wasted third-round comp pick. We wasted them all, every single one of them. Cam Latu, Jake Moody, Ty Davis Price, Danny Gray. Golly, man, just wrong. A lot of picks that were just thrown. Just thrown away. Every team has draft busts, draft misses, but it's like weird that they're all concentrated. Like, we got the most comp picks for coaches leaving and personnel things leaving because we were such a rich franchise, and I think we are. Like, it was awesome, but man, you've been cherry picked, and what did you replace that with? None of them hit. Not one of them. And we had the idea. Well, Jair Brown was a hit. Ah. Man, yeah, it's rough. But, hey, here's what I hope, because I believe Nick Sorensen is coming back next year. Not what I want, but I believe that is. And here's what I hope. I'm a Niners fan. That's what I do. I'm not a beat reporter, not an insider, whatever. I'm a 49ers fan. through and through, who shares my talk and tries to build a community through road trips and all those fun things. That's what I am. I hope Nick Sorensen turns into the best defensive coordinator in the NFL. That's what I hope. My eyes, every time I watch tape, every time I watch his press conference, every time I do any type of research whatsoever.
Yeah.
You don't coach to your personnel. You're not helping. You're not putting people in situations. And I think that's true of the offense as well. You're not coaching to your personnel. You're a run-heavy team. You literally draft offensive linemen that are undersized and mobile so that you could do play action and screens and jet sweeps and all that stuff. But then you don't do play action and you don't do screens. And you don't do jet sweeps. Instead, you turn into an empty seven-step drop pass team, throw the ball 35 times in weather when you have a quarterback that can't hold the ball in wet whenever it's raining. That's just stupid. Well, the game script says, it says stupid. And so it's what it is. It's what it is. I like this question. 49ers, the 2025 draft is deep with what, John Chapman? So we put together, I think I've got 270 names, I think, currently on our draft book. Haven't started film. We're getting the database and the things together. And if you want to help out, man, reach out to us, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. We'll get you synced up. And I've got a little video explaining what it is we need and help with background and research and all that stuff. You'd help with that, whatever it is you want. But what we got to do is just data collection now, get a base, and then that's when the film starts, and that's where we start moving around. But based on general consensus, the 49ers currently, if the draft was today, would be picking 15th in the draft, right in the middle. If that was the case, you would have a choice at the second or third type offensive tackle, defensive end. There's guys there. Now, are you getting, you know, a lottery pick or whatever else? I guess 15 would qualify as a lottery pick, but no, you're getting somebody that you have to kind of project. That you're not getting an all-pro instant type guy there, but we'll see. There's a lot of speed rushers with not a lot of production, and there's a lot of offensive tackles that are a little bit tweeners, which does fit what the 49ers use offensively. Draft a guy that's a tackle that could play guard, guard tackle, vice versa. Those options will be there. Obviously, every single draft from now till forever will be peppered with wide receivers. Please, Lord God, do not draft another first-round wide receiver that's going to have two catches over the course of a month when your offensive line is in shambles, when your defensive line is in shambles. Don't do that. No more first-round wide receivers. Shoot, you draft a wide receiver in the fourth round, you don't even throw him the ball after he gets a 50-yard catch. What the hell, man? Now, we've had some great draft hits, and I think we will have some more this upcoming year, but dude, you got a chance to have a first-round pick and be able to get an offense or defensive lineman. Those are literally the only two positions that should even be evaluated. Even be evaluated. Offensive line, defensive line in the first round. That's it. That's it. Ugh, that's it. Right here, Dave. We need to sign Greenlaw and Huff to help Sorensen improve. That'd be a great start. I agree completely. And, you know, since they showed up, everything just changed. I mean, they're great. Still fourth quarter issues, still third down issues, still red zone issues. Those still permeate no matter what. But here's Shanahan talking about the return of Hufanga and Greenlaw.
I mean, that's what they've done other times. You know, one of the best games I've seen linebacker play is, I think, 21, when Dre played in week one versus Detroit and didn't come back till week 17 versus the Rams. We needed that game to go to the playoffs, and that was the first time I've seen someone miss 16 games and come back and play at that level. So it doesn't surprise me at all. Huff's, you know, he came back earlier in this year, and with having a wrist injury and stuff, he's been able to get ready for this opportunity a little bit more than coming off his Achilles that he had before that. So Huff's been chomping at the bit to get back, and he was more ready for that moment.
And, you know, I love the discussion and debates and stuff, but I remember back that 21 season, I was like, guys, Dre Greenlaw is the for real deal. Yes, he came in 2019, 2020, he was awesome. Everybody's like, no, it's Aziz. And I love Aziz. I think he's damn good, but he's not Dre Greenlaw. He never was. And I remember people telling me Jair Brown's better than Hufanga. And I was like, no, he's not. He's not even close. And this year, people, Malik's better than Hufanga. And I was like, guys, no, he's not. He's not even close. Like, Malik's awesome. But yeah, and health is a concern. That is a concern. It's always been a concern. But health shouldn't dictate your success. Look at the Lions. You play to your personnel and the way you build your team. 49ers don't do that. That's been an issue. Ah, I love this team, and I think that these games still matter. But man, you got to fix some stuff. Ah, got to fix some stuff. We'll keep you up to date, and we'll keep going. We'll see who practices tomorrow. That's going to play a big deal in who plays down in Miami. But until next time, you guys are awesome. This was a lot of fun. Really appreciate you. Thank you for this opportunity. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Steven is an owner-operator truck driver.
Hiya, folks.
Steven traded up to Geico for serious commercial insurance for both his truck and cargo, all for a seriously great rate.
Ooh, I got one.
Got one what?
A good pun.
This isn't one of those ads.
There's something wrong with that forklift, but it's a giant fork you can't lift, right?
We take commercial insurance very seriously here, Steven.
I'm only semi-serious, huh? You get it?
I see what you did there. Get more with Geico Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial. Miles here is an electrician running wiring for this new home build.
Good morning.
Miles doesn't have time for funny business.
I guess.
Miles traded up to Sirius Commercial Auto Insurance from Geico for customized coverage that grows with his business, all for seriously low rates.
So where's the Geico surprise cameo?
Come again?
You know, like some big famous football player or something. He's going to bust through that wall, isn't he?
No, this ad is serious business.
Guys, get over here. You got to see this.
No, no, there's nothing funny over here. Sorry. Get more with Geico Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.